If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It's August 25th, 2025. Here for a 5:30 p.m. Eastern edition of the WWE Raw post show. Lots of afternoon wrestling this week, this weekend. It's a good time. it's been a good go of it. I'm very, very happy about that. My God, man. Let's go ahead and talk about WWE Raw. Leave a thumbs up on this video, subscribe, all that good stuff. You know the drill. If you want to get your questions or statements read on the air, want to ask a question, send a super chat or a humper chat. We are live on YouTube, Twitter, X, Twitch, Kick, Facebook, all that stuff. Follow me on Facebook at Sean Ross Sapp. We would greatly appreciate that. But man, WWE Raw today, it was a show that existed. It certainly existed, and it was used to build up this weekend's Clash in Paris, more afternoon wrestling. I would assume this Friday and this Monday will be afternoon as well. So plenty on that one. But we have Wesley Ham sending in a super chat saying, anything on WWE draft? I have not heard of a WWE draft of late, and the indications that I got internally were that, like, why would we move LA Knight and Sami Zayn if we're just doing a draft type of thing, which I was told and reported on FightfulSelect.com that that was viewed internally as a trade. I don't know if it's been, like, announced as such publicly, but it would make no sense if they didn't, right? And he also says, anything on WWE's relationship with Noah? I haven't heard anything new on that in months. They have really prioritized the AAA acquisition and the TNA partnership. So, I mean, I haven't heard anything of late. But if it serves WWE well to do that, they will jump right back into it. So, let's talk about this show, WWE Raw. It's all right. I mean, like, it existed. If this were on at 8 p.m., I probably would have really disliked this show. I just would have not enjoyed this whatsoever. But it happening 5 hours earlier, I was like, all right, sure. All right, listen, I got a lot of heat this week. I have nuclear heat with you. Falling asleep during Superman, SMH, hope Cincy goes 6-11 now. Guys, listen, I hate to tell you guys, I thought the Superman movie sucked. And I had people going, why? Well, you don't know ball. You don't know ball. I thought it sucked. I thought it was boring. I thought it was the same old shit that I've seen in every superhero movie ever. The only scene that I particularly liked was the one where Lex Luthor had trained a team of monkeys to troll Superman. And I was like, you know what? That's actually a pretty entertaining scene. I didn't like it. And I gave it a chance because some of my friends, including Destiny FOMO, was like, no, you would love this movie. You would like this movie. No, I got to be honest. I even fired up the first episode of Peacemaker. Wasn't too big on it. I've got superhero fatigue. I've got superhero fatigue. And also, after watching the Spider-Verse movies, the animated ones, it's kind of hard for me to be into all this other stuff because that one at least has layers and all that. Was not keen on the Superman movie. I was not keen on it. I thought it was overrated. I thought it was boring. I will say this, at least it was 2 hours instead of 2.5 to 3 hours. But it wasn't for me. Didn't like it. I've always also been more of a Marvel guy than a DC guy, at least as far as how things play out on screen. Like, I preferred X-Men in the 90s to Batman the Animated Series. Just always felt like that translates to the screen a little bit better. Watch Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special. I did. I enjoyed that. I actually like Guardians of the Galaxy. That's pretty good. But that's also before I got beat over the head with superhero movies. And, you know, this is almost an anything to not talk about Raw situation here. But I like really original concepts of movies. Like, you know, there's some, you know, it's all right. But I look forward to things that are completely fresh concepts. And that's what I'm into. I'll give you guys my top rated movies of this year in order that I have seen. Sinners was fantastic. That was incredible. One of Them Days was very good. Dangerous Animals, Weapons, Deep Cover, Neighborhood Watch, Friendship. I thought Until Dawn was okay. But I enjoyed Freakier Friday more than I enjoyed Superman. Locked, Sharp Corner, Luckiest Man in America. I have all these rated above Superman this year. Fight or Flight, Novocaine. Even have Happy Gilmore 2. Raw was fun too. Why did you not like it? What did it accomplish tonight? What got accomplished tonight? What should I have really liked? What should I have enjoyed here? I liked the Bayley promo. There's some okay wrestling. There was not a lot accomplished here. Got the same ass finish we've seen for, like, what, 9 weeks in a row? So let's talk about WWE Raw. Leave a thumbs up on this video, despite what you might think of my Superman takes. Roman Reigns opens up the show and talks for a very, very, very long time. If the day that, like, 20-minute promos to open up WWE Raw end, I will be excited. I will be very, very excited. I don't need that. Just cut it down a little bit. But I also understand the approach of, if you got Roman Reigns, you got to use him for what you got him, right? Like, I'm at least interested in that. But he said Cody predicted all this stuff would happen. And then the crowd, like, the crowd booed when he mentioned Cody. And he goes, interesting. I was like, okay, that's loaded, right? Like, that was loaded. Paul Heyman comes out as well. But this is largely to set up after burying Manchester, or what is it? Not Manchester, it was Birmingham. Not tough enough to live in Manchester, not rich enough to live in London. There you go. But Bronson Reed's out there with the Shula Fala. He's talking about how his group of Samoans are tougher than Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is like, wait, I didn't know you were Samoan. I own you. And then they fought. There's a bunch of indie wrestlers there. Corey Brennan identified a bunch of them on Fightful Select. But they brawl. Setting up their match for Sunday. Sure. Listen, these two fellas are good at fighting each other. I don't know if we needed like 20 to 25 minutes to get there, but I do like that Roman at least thwarted Bronson's effort for shoes. And now I'm sitting here like, damn, man, if it were two different participants, you could have put shoes over something. You could have put the Shula Fala up for a ladder match. I don't think Roman's going to be doing any ladder matches these days. It was fine. Roman Reigns said, I've changed. And the crowd, listen, I'm very proud of that crowd. They chanted, no, you haven't. Because he hasn't. He absolutely hasn't. Tom Talks Rubbish says, thanks for being awesome and all you've done for me. Well, thank you, Tom. If you guys want to see a bunch of interviews with Fightful personalities or Fightful related personalities, check out Tom Talks Rubbish. Dragon Lee defeated JD McDonough. The chants were on fire for this one. He had like massive head chants. This match was fantastic. Listen, man, JD McDonough just delivers every single time. That's not me taking something away from Dragon Lee. He's just featured on the TV show significantly less for me to rave about. But they, I mean, that you know they're going to have an incredible match, and they've been pretty well working this feud for the last few weeks as well to continue that. But I mean, JD, if you need somebody to go out there and fill out 15 on a TV show, and you know you want somebody to go 100 miles an hour, it's going to be JD McDonough, and against anybody too, he can work to any style. He can work to any speed. He can work any degree of physicality within that as well. Like, I mean, he is a very, very versatile performer and somebody that really helps them out in that tag team division. Dragon Lee, of course, ended up getting the win. The stream started to get a little funky for me here. Started to get a little bit weird for me. But there was a sequence where there was the, I want to say, the 21 plex, but it was the rebound German suplex that JD got put on him. Then Dragon Lee super kicked him, did a poison Rana, and then did, I want to say, or got Spanish flyed by JD. Like, fantastic chemistry between these two guys. Just incredible. I do hate the stomp in the corner. I hate when anybody's got to hold themselves up like that and wait on the stomp. Somebody says it was just on the international version glitching. Well, listen, your boy was watching with that NordVPN.com/Fightful. So that's why I was watching it for those no commercials. I had a lot of people saying, man, what are you going to do? What are you going to do, Sean, when ESPN Unlimited comes after you? And I said, I don't have to worry about it. I've got NordVPN.com and the code Fightful. So since I've got a Netflix subscription, I just log on, change my virtual location, and then I'm good to go with all WWE content. Sean, what are you going to do when this show goes to you? I don't got to worry about it. I switch to the international versions with NordVPN.com/Fightful, and I am good to go. And by the way, this is all on the very lowest tier of NordVPN.com/Fightful. You're good to go for like a couple bucks a month. They got a great deal where you get 4 months free, and there's always a 30-day money-back guarantee. Had people saying, Sean, how'd you watch AEW this weekend? I got it half off with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Sean, how you watching Bound for Glory? Half off with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Saving that money. And not just that, all your operating systems, all your devices. And then if for some reason you want to bump up to a higher tier, you've got that Threat Protection Pro. You can protect yourself on that public Wi-Fi with the password manager, the file encryption tool, all that good stuff. But no matter what tier you're on and you're saying, I don't know if I'll be able to make this work, they got 24/7 tech support that is going to help you. NordVPN.com/Fightful. I'm going to be using this a lot during football season to change to those local markets and watch each game. Sunday tickets a little too rich for this blood. So NordVPN.com/Fightful it is. Getting texts from people in WWE about the Bengals reaching a deal with Trey Hendrickson. So I'll probably be live on Common Bengals W on YouTube after this and Twitter. Yeah, I'll probably just go ahead and go live there as well. How do you get the commercial-free version of Fightful? This has gone on for like 3 minutes. Here's how you get it. You start up a company. Then what you do is you sponsor us for thousands and thousands of dollars a month. That way we can overcome all the impact that aggregators have had on our business. That's how. Sorry, we got to pay the bills. We got 40 people on the staff, Tim. So Tim Weinbrenner, whenever you start Weinbrenner Inc., you can sponsor all of our shows, and we will only say, this show is brought to you by Tim Weinbrenner. And then we'll do that. But hey, Tim Weinbrenner, do you want to sponsor the Freddy Got Fingered review? He says I was teasing. I'm not. Do it. Do it. Live that billionaire life. Go click one of the links that are always in my replies. Those bots, as a millionaire living my best life, do it and sponsor us. I'm ready for it. I'm ready for ad-free Fightful. Somebody wants to come along and do that. I'm just saying, I would be down for it. Before this, by the way, Dominic was backstage talking with El Grande Americano, and you had you had Judgment Day like a little bit iffy about that. We had dueling Rusev promos, Sheamus vignettes to promote their match this weekend. Rusev said that he would have faced Sheamus in whatever match that he wanted, and Sheamus just basically promoting the upcoming match. Listen, they're going to beat the living shit out of each other. I think this is the right crowd, the absolute right crowd. Kofi Kingston defeated Penta. Xavier Woods is out there in a neck brace. So he had legitimately told people after this match last week that he hurt his neck. But from what I understand, every year before Dragon Con, he does something where he gets injured, and he cut this promo about being pile driven by Penta and being injured as a result. So don't know how serious that is. I hope it's not. I hope it's just an angle, because listen, Xavier Woods, don't want to see that man hurt. But regardless, Kofi Kingston defeated Penta. And I just keep watching this and I'm like, what is a brand split anymore? Why are the Lucha acquaintances a thing on SmackDown? Why at this stage are we not simply having the Lucha Brothers reunite? Like, why is that not a thing? Why are they not together? Because it certainly seems like it would benefit Penta an awful lot. So there was a rough spot here where Penta went for a kick to the top rope, and I don't know what Kofi thought it was going to be, but it didn't get sold the right way. It was like a little loopy there. But Kofi ended up kicking out of the Penta driver, which I was like, oh, damn. Somebody says, isn't that the end goal? We'll see. I think it needs to be. I think you're right there. But I think this needs to be a vehicle for Phoenix and even Andrade to come in and work with New Day, of which now has Grayson Waller, because Austin Theory is sidelined. Unfortunately, FightfulSelect.com reported recently that Austin Theory is on the injured list and just taken out there. But the spot of this match was Penta getting back body dropped onto that table. That was a dope ass spot, like that. But it was fine. Just I'm ready for this to progress. Xavier is so funny. And also I like seeing New Day wearing like black, because man, they've been so colorful for so long. Like, it is a nice, different approach to see them wear that. Like, I think it goes well. So, I got problems with the next segment. Stephanie Vecchier is backstage with Adam Pearce. He says, nobody is going to take your top contendership away from you, but it's not going to be at Clash in Paris. I am sorry. But I've got an opponent in mind. I just need you to give me a week to cross the T's and dot the I's. And I'm thinking they had 2 weeks before Clash in Paris to have figured out an opponent. Like, why didn't they do that? And beyond that, why is it that Stephanie has to earn her title match? But whoever is getting thrown into this, apparently they just got to be negotiated. Now, I would not mind that being like maybe a contractual thing. Maybe Adam Pearce is dragging somebody over from SmackDown, and that was how he got them from SmackDown was saying, well, I'll give you a title shot if you come on over here. That would make sense. I'm just asking for it to make sense within the show. Now, I am far less like adamant about how hard to go on brand splits as I used to be, because in like 2016, 2017, 2018, you had NXT and all that stuff, but there wasn't a ton of crossover with Raw and SmackDown. The brands were very definitive back then. But what you also didn't have was WWE working with AAA. I mean, WWE owning AAA and WWE working with TNA. So for me, here's why I ease up on it a lot. Because nowadays, it wouldn't make a lot of sense to say, yeah, sure, Raw and SmackDown were good with sending talent to AAA and TNA and even down to NXT, but they just won't work with each other. That just doesn't make any sense. That makes less sense than the bastardization of the brand split itself. So that's why I have decided to be like, you know what? You can get some leeway on this brand split. You want to talk about believability and all that. I believe that the people in charge of all this care so little about such a thing that they don't enforce it. So that's about as believable as it gets based on the context of this program. But also, if you see Dominic on AAA, like, well, why wouldn't Adam Pearce let Nick Aldis use him every once in a while, you know? Especially if it's going to benefit him. We are to believe that Raw and SmackDown would have working partnerships with everybody but each other. No, I get it. I understand. I got no problem with that whatsoever now. It used to be a thing that really bothered me, and it's okay that it used to really bother me, because I don't think that it made a lot of sense back then, because they did not have these wide partnerships, and they really want, when you're trying to establish brand supremacy and bragging rights and Survivor Series, brand versus brand, that's one thing. But like, listen, just facilitate a couple trades and that's it. But I do want there to be some sense made of it. Like, Adam Pearce and Nick Aldis should simply see each other face to face at Clash in Paris and say, how is Sammy working out for you? How is LA working out for you? That was a nice trade, right? Yada, yada. Why? I don't know why they don't maximize the buzz around such a thing. But oh well. Becky Lynch came out. I loved Becky Lynch's end of this. Terry, I am so sorry. This was supposed to get read yesterday. Luis, I will follow you back on Blue Sky, Terry. But I did see your super chat yesterday, and I will. Get in those super chats. Get in those humper chats. I would greatly appreciate if you guys did that. I liked Becky Lynch's side of this promo, but oh boy, did I not like the Nikki Bella side of this promo. Now, there weren't... Okay, so here's where I think that Becky gets away with it. She's like, Nikki, I'm not giving out title shots all willy-nilly, which is not true. It isn't true at all. But that's because Becky Lynch's character is a liar. It's literally like a Trump parody. Because she does. She gave out title shots to Natalya and Maxine like each of the last 2 weeks, right? So she is. It's just she's being a coward towards Nikki Bella, which they get into it about the C word. I'm like, okay. All right, then. But Nikki Bella's burns are very like Diva Stan Twitter 2015 coded. It's like, has the man lost her balls? You say you're not a dog, but you're acting like a bitch. Meanwhile, Becky is getting reactions by saying the only good thing from Birmingham died a month ago, which is Ozzy Osbourne. I thought that Becky was way better. And then she does do the Trump thing where she says, I'm not the only one saying that. Sports Illustrated is saying that, which the funny thing is, our dude Riccicino works at Sports Illustrated, Collision post-show host. And he is a big Becky Lynch fan. So I'm sitting there like, even when she is in character as a pro wrestler lying, there is truth to it because Riccicino has probably said all of these things before. They are promoting their Clash in Paris match as well. But somebody says she's talking SP3. She repeated that. She is not talking about a specific article. It is a parody. A parody. And somebody else said that. It's just her saying all of these things. I know he made the list. He works here too. I'm not stupid. Pile driver finisher. I know what I mean. I know what I'm talking about here. I know the people involved. I know the people referenced here. I'm very aware. I'm very aware of this. Very aware of this. She is referencing in very, very vague elements. Rhea Ripley defeated Roxanne Perez, but not before Rhea was backstage talking to Io Sky. And Io says, hey, listen, Kabuki Warriors are family, and that's important to me. I wasn't burying SP3. I'm just saying it wasn't about one single article. It's about a cumulative, vague thing. But Io Sky hugs Rhea Ripley. They embrace. And you see the Kabuki Warriors, specifically Asuka, flip out in the background. I love this idea that Asuka is this unpredictable hothead because she plays that role very well. Very, very well. So, Io ends up saving Rhea after a very good match, by the way. Like, geez, man. Roxanne Perez keeps, like, listen, she would have been my call to win a tournament to compete for the world title. I think she's that good. I think she's going to be good for the next 15 years. She is phenomenal. But Rhea Ripley, man, like, sometimes we take for granted how good she is, I think. Like, she hit that filthy razor's edge. Filthy razor's edge. And she sells DDT so well. And I like seeing specifically how she sells, like, not tornado DDTs, tilt-a-whirl DDTs. So she'll do it and she'll roll up or she'll stand up and fall down. I would love a compilation video of just Rhea Ripley selling those because she does it wonderfully. Wonderfully. Rhea Ripley gets the win here. Kabuki Warriors confront Io backstage after Io makes the save. And Rhea is just, you know, happy about Io and says, ah, so much for you not helping me, right? And Io's like, I couldn't help it. They're buddies. They got a respect for one another through the absolute slappers, humpers. And the funniest thing about the Kabuki Warriors confronting Io is that, like, a significant percentage of them arguing with each other was in English. And they switched back and forth to Japanese. Because I was like, why on earth would they just scream at each other in English? To me, it would have conveyed even more if they just screamed at each other in Japanese. Because that is far more intimidating to me. Because, listen, every time that Asuka screams, I'm like, chill, you got it. Whatever. Whatever you need, bro. You're all right. But I think it's pretty clear this leads to Kabuki Warriors, Rhea, and Io Sky. And I would assume that Io is, you know, out of the title picture for the time being. I don't think it'd be her in the world title match. But you could do a lot worse than Rhea Ripley and Io Sky against the Kabuki Warriors. That match is going to be insane. But you also saw Kairi not feeling great about how everything went. Not feeling great about how her tag team partner yelled at somebody who had been her close friend for so long. Like, Kairi is an I don't want to say an unwilling participant because she's still a participant, but she is a hesitant participant in all this. Dom and Finn are arguing. Dom told Finn to take care of AJ. Well, I feel like Dominic would have had his money on Finn Balor, but it wouldn't have worked out well for him. But it can work out well for you if you go to mybookie.ag. Bet on anything, anytime, anywhere. Score a 100% bet back bonus up to $500. New customers only. You get up to $500 bet back bonus, 150% casino bonus up to $750. You can bet with Bitcoin, use table games, live casinos, and slot games. Now, we only want you to bet what you can, and please bet responsibly. But right now, you get a $50 bonus on a $100 deposit when you use the code FIGHTFUL. Or a $100 bonus on a $200 deposit. We have a link in the description below. No matter what platform you're listening on, it is NFL season. Your boy is ready. I'm going to be putting some money down. It's baseball season. Listen, here's how I'm going to win. Put down money every other day on the Reds, and you might actually win because they are as mediocre as it humanly gets. We got WNBA season. Get those bets in before that lockout. NBA season is heating up, or it's about to heat up. Not heating up yet. They're about to, like the fall, it's about to be lit, my friends. And MyBookie AG has you covered. If you don't know how to use it, they have a wonderful tech support that will help you there. But listen, if you're into horse racing, like a bunch of people here in Kentucky are, MyBookie AG. UFC, MLB, NBA, NHL, NCAA, and check out their Instagram. It is shockingly entertaining. My bookie, AG. Juju says, have you heard any updates on Dakota's status? Haven't heard of any promotion interested in signing her since her release. There were certainly some people in AEW that I was talking to when she got released that thought that down the line she could end up there. But I don't know necessarily that it's a companies being interested thing. I think it's about where she wants to go. I know she procured an agent, a very good one. I'm pretty sure she shares an agent with Bryan Danielson. I wouldn't be surprised to see her pop up in Japan and creating some buzz doing that. That would That's what I think is going to happen. That's the route that I believe it's going to go. AJ Styles defeated Finn Balor with the Styles Clash. But to me, the highlight of this was AJ Styles doing that that shotgun dropkick, which, by the way, he attacked Dominic at ringside earlier in the night. But he sold a shotgun dropkick from Finn Balor and just took it with such snap. And it, man, this dude's still got it. He's still got it. Now, there are things he can't do that he did 10, 15 years ago. But man, he is so good at like adjusting with his skill set. And his skill set is still very, very good. Like he avoided the coup de grace and ended up hitting the Styles Clash to get the win. Also, like I loved that he feigned. Well, I don't know if it was a feign or it was a transition, but it went like a roll into the calf cutter, and then Finn Balor tried to roll through that, and then Styles picked him through and did the Styles Clash, and it worked out really well. A couple other moments that I forgot to mention. Grayson Waller carrying out Xavier Woods, who was injured, was very funny to me. That was good stuff. But the in-ring wrestling was largely solid. Nothing where it's like, oh my God, guys, you can't miss this. But it was solid enough. Solid enough. Oh. What else do we got on this episode of WWE Raw? Oh, this Bayley video was actually pretty good. I'm interested in that. Looks like she's having a bit of an identity crisis. She doesn't really know what's going on, what's occurring. And she's it's like the hugger Bailey is talking to herself, and Lyra Valkyria sees this and she's worried. And Adam Pearce is like, I don't know, but I'll figure out what's up. But Bailey is basically fighting against the ding dong hello Bailey and the hugger Bailey. And again, she's having a bit of an identity crisis right now. It's okay. She's going to be all right. But I want to know, do you all want to see an adjustment in this personality? Do you want to see hugger Bailey return? What if every week she came out and was a little bit different? It seems like in doing this, it's a way to not fly her, not fly her overseas for this tour, but still keep her on TV. But I mean, I know she's on the tour. She's on the tour, isn't she? She's been working Lyra. So she's there. So what do I know? What the hell do I know? But I'm interested in this. Dominic versus AJ next week per Adam Pearce. And Dominic calls Adam Pearce Charles Xavier. It's a good one. It's a good one. CM Punk cuts a promo backstage and he's like, man, nobody wanted to be on the same page. He's like, Jey Uso wanted to do his own thing. LA Knight wanted nothing to do with me. Meanwhile, we all got to worry about Seth Rollins, and I'm obsessed with the world title. That's all I care about. That's all I want is that world championship. So if they don't want that, to hell with them. It is very funny to see CM Punk being portrayed on screen as the diplomat in any situation, as opposed to the guy that's like, you got a problem? Can't let you get close to me. Like, come on. He's blaming everybody but himself. So it's not that unlike the backstage reputation CM Punk. But like him trying to be like, listen, man, I tried to make it work, which I will say in AEW, he did want to meet with like the Young Bucks and Omega. That was a thing. He did want to do that, as best I remember it. But it is funny to where he's like, come on, guys, we got to get along here. I can't be the only one that sees this type of thing. They are trying to lean into Roman Reigns, trying to be like good guy Roman Reigns. And he's like, Jey, I did a lot of things for myself for a long time, and you did things for everybody else. Like they're trying to, but that's not Roman Reigns. That might be Joanna White, but that's not Roman Reigns. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying the fake nice guy routine. Roman Reigns sitting there with his wet hair and his big smile. I'm not buying it. I don't think he gives a damn about Jey Uso's confidence. I just think he's plotting. He's still plotting. Everything's a plot with him. Meanwhile, I think that Seth Rollins is actually more sincere in him pumping up Bronson Reed and Bron Breakker. He's like, listen, you guys were right about Bronson Reed. I had to be talked into it, but you were right about him. Because he is at least rooted in the idea that these guys are helping him retain his championship all the time. So he at least has some sincere motivation, as opposed to Roman Reigns, who's just trying to convince people he's a great guy. He's a nice guy, and he's changed so much. He's so different now. The tribal gaslighters. Xena Warrior says, I'm not buying it. Not buying it. So backstage, Roman tried, you know, listen, good guy Roman making those sacrifices for LA Knight, right? Making those sacrifices. No, he's doing it because he's selfish. He's not there to attack Bronson Reed to keep him out of the main event. He's there because he just wants to fight Bronson Reed, which I expect that to be a fun match. I don't want to see a barricade get broken in that match. Can we just not do a barricade break there? LA Knight attacks Braun backstage as well. There were some rough spots in this match. Bron Breakker almost broke his neck on a spear. There was also a thing where he picked up LA Knight and he went like a very weird situation. But like, I budget for at least one of these in every LA Knight match because he is sometimes ambitiously athletic. Like, yeah, I think he views himself every bit of the athlete that Bron Breakker is. And let me tell you, LA Knight still gets air on those elbow drops and the neck breakers as well. But some of them don't always work. Like, he ain't going to be doing that Bron Breakker table clothesline anytime soon. But the crowd is still there for him. Bron Breakker, you know, making fun of the yeah, and he's like, look, it's half of the 100. That line hit the first time. Don't lean on it too much. But, friends, I am so sick of DQs and interference in the main event of WWE Raw. So sick of it. And last week they said, can't do a DQ if it's no DQ. They still had interference. And they had interference tonight. Seth Rollins ran in. Bron Breakker won. I asked Jeremy Lambert to go back and look. And let's see here. He said July 7th, Rollins beat Penta with no interference. July 7th is the last time. So this is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 straight WWE Raw main events with interference or a DQ. And when I highlighted that, listen, go to my Twitter. Go look. You're going to see a ton of people say, why are you always complaining? Why are you always complaining? Oh, my God. Oh, man, you're just burying WWE. It's lazy. What about when AEW does it? Did you watch our reviews where Gang Wars was a running bit? Because after every match, the big gang war would break out. Focus on your own shit, bro. Focus on your own shit, bro. Crowd always eats it up, man. It's lazy. It's boring. Do something different. Why would Adam Pearce, in character, not do something about this? Is there something in Paul Heyman's contract where it prevents this? Give me a reason. I covered Forbidden Door yesterday. Give me a reason why Bryce Rimsburg, within the context of the show, shouldn't be suspended for how he handled the world title match, right? Give me reasons. Why was there no DQ in that? Why is there interference all the time in this? This makes me want to jump off my roof into my yard every single week. So CM Punk and Jey Uso come out. Uso hits a super kick on CM Punk. And this is after Rollins, I think, pedigreed Jay. Is that true? Was that right? And then he super kicked Punk. Yeah, he super kicked Punk. There you go. Darren G says, have you ever had any heat with any company because of your job when you react negatively to something, asking in general? Oh, man, like there are people that, first off, their source guessing is rarely right. I would say 90 to 95%, but there are people that, quite frankly, have been sources for me. And they're like, damn, you buried the shit out of me last night. I'm like, well, listen, if your segment isn't good, it's not good. And if you have a problem with me saying that on my show, I am not the person that you should be talking to because it's the job. It's the job. I will say this, even like I have a great professional relationship with WWE now. But in like, I want to say 2018 to 2020, it wasn't good. It just wasn't good at all. And I hadn't really established myself to the level I have now. But like it was contentious about a lot of stuff. But one thing that had always been the case was that people there, especially within the PR and talent relations department were like, criticism is criticism, and that's fair. Like, they were not trying to say, don't bury this, don't bury this. In AEW, largely it'll be, like, if they don't agree with a criticism, it won't be a, oh my God, why did you do this? It's usually a, explain to us why you feel that way type of thing. Sometimes in TNA as well. Indies a lot, that happens as well. And then, yeah, it just doesn't, yeah. Yeah, I don't really get that a lot. There are way more like stands that get mad over it. Sean, how did you enjoy Forbidden Door 1-5 rating? .325. There's some really good wrestling, but there were a number of things that, quite frankly, didn't make sense to the point of insulting my intelligence. And I'm adding a quarter star because it was in the afternoon. Guys, I want to say thank you all. Please subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. I cannot begin to tell you guys how important that is to what we do at Fightful. I know a lot of you are like, why would I pay for wrestling news? It supports what we do. It is our lifeblood. It is, quite frankly, the thing that keeps everything else running. We don't make money on the web end of Fightful, the articles and all that. So Fightful Select is how we support all that. Every day, a Q&A article. Every day, exclusive news. And I mean every day. Today, we have one on a surprising name that's gained a lot of gained an awful lot of influence in New Japan. I dropped my Q&A podcast today, almost an hour long, like talking about what I've heard that Vince McMahon thinks of some of the changes in WWE, going over the week's news, tons of stuff over there. If you haven't checked out one of the Q&A shows, it is a good time. Every other week, there's a Grapsody Q&A. There's people that say, why don't you cover the indies? We do. It's on Fightful Select, the Weekender show. Alex's Sour Graps over there as well, and exclusive Discord access. Will says, surprised you didn't like the show, Sean. I did like the show, but there were some moments that insulted my intelligence. That's it. You mean today? Yeah, so I didn't hate the show. It's wrestling. I'm pretty well going to enjoy it regardless. Crowd was okay. Listen, this wasn't like a white hot crowd. This was a get yourself over crowd. Yes, follow us on Fightful Espanol on Facebook, IG, and Blue Sky. We are trying to get back our Twitter, by the way. Trying to get that one back. But, guys, something very important to me. I spent a regretful amount of money to get Alex and Kate personalized puppets that will be here in late October. And some of you watching the show might be like, Sean, why would you do that? Well, I'll tell you why. I convinced Alex, who I think is the best negative reviewer ever, to the point that it's led to a 9-year career at Fightful. I got him to interview one of my favorite comfort films, Hot Rod, and he hated it. He was talking like about the rules of comedy and all this goofy shit. I disagreed with almost everything that he said. But it was sincerely one of the best movie reviews I've ever seen. Also the longest Hot Rod review of all time. And that same week, I watched the Tom Green film, Freddy Got Fingered. And I've mentioned this before. About 15 minutes in, I wondered, is this movie just a bad movie, or is this art? Is this performance art? And I was like, I got to have Alex review this. And he quoted me an outrageous amount because he didn't want to do it. And instead, we worked down to personalized puppets, of which they can use on the air. Insane amount of money. Now, granted, I have sold a few ads for the upcoming review. If you are interested, contact me. We're selling some ad reads. I'm going to be executive producing a Freddy Got Fingered review on the main channel of Fightful. Now, I would ask you guys to go watch this movie. It is on Amazon Prime, so anybody that wants free shipping pretty much gets it. but I also would not subject you all to such a thing. But sometime, I think in September, the Fightful main channel, Freddie Got Fingered Review. And I don't care if you like the way that Alex reviews WWE or AEW content. You are going to want to watch Alex Palowski and Kate review Freddie Got Fingered. It's going to be an event. It's going to be a moment. It's going to be historic. I'm going to be popping on there and providing facts as if you needed such a thing about this movie. But it's going to be a moment. Guys, I appreciate you all very much. Please subscribe to Fightful Select. Until next time, we're out.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com apply.